And it's very, very significant. It is so significant, the mention of Shabbos in this week's parasha, that I don't really know how to express this in the right words, but it's the foundation of Klal Yisrael. This that Shabbos is the most important and fundamental mitzvah in Judaism is rooted in this week's parasha. What am I referring to? During the Shibud, when the Shibud began, they were enslaved and there was crushing labor. Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Paro and says, maybe you should now reconsider and let my people go. And Paro gets very angry and he says, what? You want them to go free, go serve Hashem in the desert for 3 days, bring a carbon? I see, Moshe, that your people have too much time on their hands. If they're talking about rebelling and looking for excuses, they're plotting and planning to leave Egypt and go offer a sacrifice to a god, I see they don't have what to do with themselves. So you know what? I'm going to tell the taskmasters to no longer provide the raw materials, straw. Instead of the taskmasters providing them with straw and demanding that they create a quota of bricks every day, let the people themselves go out into the field and find their own straw and their own raw materials and let them produce the same number of bricks in that they've been doing until now. Tichbat ho'avoida al ho'anoshim v'yasu ba. Pasuk says, let the labor intensify upon the men and let them do what they have been doing until now. I'm not giving them straw. And then he concludes with some extremely important words which open up worlds into Judaism, into human psychology, into Moshe Rabbeinu, into just about everything that there is in the Torah. The Al Yishu Bidivrei Shoker. The end of the passage is Shoker. Al Yishu Bidivrei Shoker. Rashi is a long Rashi on this pasuk. Rashi basically says the word, he has a whole long analysis. What exactly does the word Yishu, Yud, Shin, Ayin, Vav, what is the translation of that word? And Rashi says in this context, it means to speak. They should no longer have an opportunity to speak about words of falsehood, Sheker. We just finished learning over here about Yerushalayim is the ear, Ho'emes. Paro said, I don't want these people to talk about Yishu, Bedivrei, Shoker. And what are the words of Shoker, of Sheker? Rashi explains, these words that they plan, that they desire to leave Egypt, go into the desert for 3 days and offer a sacrifice to Hashem.
That's not the only meaning of the word Yishu.
Rashi, look at a long Rashi, you're right, look at the Targum, look at Rashi, look at other commentators. Absolutely. I just told you one of many Perushim. Rashi says one translation, Yishu means to speak, and he proves that he cites other psukim. And then Rashi, I know what you're telling me, I know what you're thinking. It means to turn, pnu, just like Hashem did not turn, did not pay attention. Rashi rejects that. Rashi analyzed, don't say it means that. And he explains why the grammatical form of the word, the way it's used here, cannot possibly mean do not turn. So Rashi acknowledges that you would assume it means do not turn, do not pay attention, do not, and he rejects it, and he proves that the grammatical form in this context must mean speak. The Targum Onkelos does not say that. Targum Onkelos says do not be busy, yisasku. Okay, and I'm certain, I didn't look, but I'm certain if you're looking all over the Rishonim and the Rashbam and the Chizkuni and the Das Bali Taisvis, the Zakein and the Bali Taisvis, and you go look in all of the Rishonim, you'll probably find numerous translations. It'll be, it's a field day for Lashon HaKodesh to super analyze what this word really means and then to fit it into the context, because whatever that word means, it's going to have a direct effect on what are the words divrei shaker. I mean, what are the divrei shaker? What are we talking about? So Rashi says that if the word yishu means speak, it means, what are they speaking about? They're making demands. We want to leave Egypt. We want to go into the desert and offer a sacrifice. So if the word yishu means to speak, Rashi thus says the divrei shaker is offering a sacrifice. Now, there's a medrash. It's a very famous medrash. Everyone, all the Mepharshim cite the medrash on this pasuk. And they tell us, let's give some background. Yes. Let's give some background to the medrash. The background is, I think it's on this pasuk, on Shabbos morning, the nusach ha-tfilah of tfilah shachris is Yismach Moshe b'matnas chalkai. Why do we say those words Shabbos morning? Moshe rejoice in the gift of his portion. What does that mean? What's the simple meaning of these words? Everything is Moshe. The whole Torah is Torah's Moshe. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Every single word of the Torah is Moshe. So what does it mean? Yismach Moshe b'matnas, the gift that is his portion. And the answer is, the Medrash explains in beautiful detail that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Egypt and he saw Vayar b'siv loisam, he took note that the Jews worked 7 days a week. 24/7, literally. 7 days a week. And Moshe Rabbeinu on his own, he went to Paro and said, you know, I have an advanced degree in human psychology. I have an advanced degree from Wharton, MBA, in business administration. And the intersection of human psychology and my MBA from Wharton tells me, thank you very much for the cup of coffee. You it's sure. not, I come to the, you should have to bring the cup of coffee. I apologize. It's not looking quite right. It's very kind of you. It's not proper. You don't have to serve me. I'm, believe me, I'm the last person. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bidvarei. A toast to Mark. Okay, so the question over here is, what does it mean over here about Yishu b'divrei shaker? So the Medrash says something very incredible. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, I have an MBA from Wharton in business administration, and I'm a human psychologist, and I've dealt with Mayor Appeldorf for so many years, so I know what it's all about. A person needs vacation. A human being needs vacation. You cannot work 24/7. This is not productive. It's not healthy. It is not productive. It's not good for the bottom line. You will not succeed. The people will get burnt out. They'll commit suicide. Who knows what they'll do with themselves? You cannot torture people for 7 days in a row. If you want them to be productive, you have to give them vacation for 1 day. And he made this demand. He made a presentation with charts and with the figures and studies from the CDC and from who knows where, whatever he could do. He proved to Paro that it's not a healthy thing to do, and it's not a productive economic program. It's not going to work well for the economy to have them work 7 days a week. Paro went for it. He called all of his wise men, and they sat together, and they analyzed the data, and somehow they came to a conclusion that Moshe is right. If you want the workers to be productive, you got to give them a day off. So, what day? Saturday. Yom HaShvi'i. Got a day off. Moshe Rabbeinu had an agenda. He wanted a day off for them, of course, and he proved that it was good, but his real agenda was he wanted a day where he can gather them together and be mechazek them spiritually. And on the day of Shabbos, he told them, listen here, you're only free from work because of me, so you got to reciprocate. I all want you to come to shul, and I'm going to give a long, long drasha. Not like they give today, you know, to a rabbi. You give your drasha goes 1 second over 8 minutes. Don't expect your contract to be renewed. It wasn't like that in those days. In those days, Moshe, he spoke and spoke and spoke the whole day in shul. For hours and hours, he spoke to them. He says, you're only here, you only have a day off because of me, so you're going to listen to what I have to say.
Like a shtiebel, the Rebbe does what he wants.
And there were no distractions with Shabbos. There was no smartphones. He turned off the cell phone towers. There was no internet connection. He had a captive audience. And what did he do to them? He was mechazek them. He taught them emunah. He taught them about kedusha. He taught them about geula. He taught them everything they needed to know. He gave them tremendous chizuk going forward, what's going to be. This was Shabbos. This wasn't a Shabbos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This wasn't Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. This was Shabbos Moshe Rabbeinu. He went, yeah, everyone knows Hashem made the world in 6 days, and Hashem rested on day seven. So good for Hashem. What does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with me? Hashem made this world. You go into a building, how long did it take them for the construction? Do you even know who built this building, the Young Israel of Midwood? Could anyone here name the construction company that was hired to build the building? Does anyone know the name of the architect? Does anyone know the name of the plumber? The name of the electrician? No one knows nothing. Maybe Dr. Phil Friedman knows. I don't know, but I don't think most people who walk into a building have any knowledge of who, what the name of the construction company, the name of the workers, the name of anything that goes on. You come into a building, there's under hate. So Shabbos wasn't a matter of, this world also was created by an architect and was built, and it took time and it took investment and whatever happened in creating this world. No one talks about that. That's not the issue. Moshe Rabbeinu just said, I want a day off for them. I want Shabbos. I want that they should have a day of rest because, you know, you can't work so long. So let's give them one day off from work. Nothing religious about you. But he used this day as an opportunity to inject spirituality into their lives. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed the Jewish people and they arrived, they crossed the Yam and they came to Marah, Marah was the first stop in the desert after the Exodus, after the Egyptians were drowned in the Yamsuf. The first stop was Marah, and in Marah, Hashem gave the Jewish people a handful of mitzvahs, I think 3 mitzvahs. And the first mitzvah Hashem gave them was Shabbos. Guess what? Every 7 days, you're not going to do melacha. Why? Well, number one, why? Well, let's say something. I don't know if it's true, but why? But basically, why? Yismach Moshe b'manas chelkai. Because the only reason why you got here tomorrow is because you had Shabbos in Egypt. That Shabbos was whose Shabbos? That wasn't a Shabbos zeich l'maaseh bereishis. It wasn't a Shabbos zeich l'yitzias Mitzrayim because you didn't leave Mitzrayim yet. You were still slaves. It was Moshe Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu gave you Shabbos. He lobbied the government that a worker should have a day off. It's good for the government, good for you, for the government, that the worker should have time for menucha. But you know why Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted there to be Shabbos? So that on one day a week, Jews can recharge their spiritual batteries. And because Moshe recharged the spiritual batteries of Klal Yisrael on that Shabbos, that's what gave them the power, the strength, the fortitude to proceed through to the Golos and to make it to the finish line, to make it tomorrow. So how did you get here? The only way you made it tomorrow is because of the Shabbos. Because Moshe Rabbeinu got you a day off from work, and Moshe Rabbeinu would sit with you for one day a week and would teach you Torah and would be mechazik you and give you hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and review your legacy. We tell you stories about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the Ovis and the history of the world and strengthen you. So the only reason why you made it tomorrow is because of the Shabbos. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. It's his portion. It's his Shabbos. That's Shabbos. And then once we have Shabbos, of course, Zechel Yitzias, and that's really, really to a degree, that's what it means, Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's really what it is. That's really, when you say Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's really Moshe Shabbos. It was the Shabbos that got us out of Egypt. It was the Shabbos more than the Jew keeps the Shabbos keeps the Jew. It was the Shabbos that Moshe Rabbeinu got for the Jewish people, which he used to fortify them. That's what got them out of Golos. And of course, once we observe the Shabbos of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we have the Shabbos of Maase Bereishis. Right? We have two luchos. In the first luchos, it says Zechel Maase Bereishis. And in the second luchos, it says Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's both. Okay, but the Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim is the Yismach Moshe B'Manas Chelkoi. So according to the Medrash, besides the Pshat, Val Yishu B'Divrei Shoker, besides the Pshat, that enough of this nonsense that you want to leave and offer a sacrifice, the Medrash says, I did an investigation, and I found out what's going on, that the day off that I granted you, you're all going to Shul, and you're all listening to Moshe Rabbeinu Darshan about Shabbos. He called Shabbos the Divrei Shoker. I see you have plenty of time on your hands, and that's why, you know what? So I'm going to make life more difficult. Don't pay attention to Shabbos. What's happening on the Divrei Shoker, according to the Medrash, is a description, a summary of Shabbos, because the words of Shoker is referring to was what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing for the Jewish people on that day. The day they had off from work, Moshe Rabbeinu gathered everyone together and strengthened them in Emunah. It was the Divrei Shoker of Shabbos. Don't re-spiritualize yourself with words, those words of which Paro called Sheker, on the Holy Shabbos. Okay, so, and it's incredible, you know, we have to bring in a psychologist, but the ultimate acknowledgement of the truth is to be in a state of denial. When things are vague so you can always manipulate, you can always, you know, interpret events as you please. No, when something happens, so there's your interpretation, there's my interpretation, right? That's how the way it goes. Everything in this world can be viewed from different angles. But what happens when the evidence is explicit? It's clear as day, and the opponent doesn't want to accept it. He's living in a world of denial. What does he do? Then he says, it's sheker. When the MS is staring in your face and you refuse to accept it, you enter into a state of denial by stating everything is sheker. If something is not 100% MS, you don't need to be in a state of denial. You can interpret the events as you please. If something in this world happens, why did this happen? You can say whatever you want to say. You can say it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, it's an accident, there's a purpose, there's no purpose. When you're dealing with abstractions, then there's no need to be in a state of denial. You can manipulate the data, and you can interpret the data to your pleasing. But when you are presented in this world with hard facts that are undeniable and there's no room to maneuver, and you refuse to accept the facts, the only escape you have is to enter into a state of denial and say, it's sheker.
President.
Okay, it's sheker.
Trump.
So Mr. Bienenstock is saying that President Trump is in a state of denial. Rabbi Chaim Miller is saying the country, the Democrats are in a state of denial. One thing is for sure, both sides are saying, Val Yishu B'Divrei Shoker. which one is in a state of denial and which one is in a state of reality, okay? You don't want to hear my opinion, but let's... Ramchol, a toast to Ramchol. Okay, well, Paro is exhibiting classic textbook state of denial syndrome.
Classic. Well, you know what?
What?
Denial is not just a river in Egypt.
Denial is not just a river in Egypt.
Come on, you all have heard that.
I never heard that. Okay.
Of course and, we have, yes.
Okay, so Paro is exhibiting classic symptoms, textbook symptoms of being in a state of denial. You know what that means when you're in a state of denial? It's an acknowledgement that this is the MS. The only time you have to pull out the Sheker card is when you basically acknowledge that the facts speak for itself. When the facts speak for itself and it's blatant MS and you refuse to accept it, then you pull out, oh, it's all Sheker. Saying it's Sheker is basically acknowledging it's MS. Paro himself basically said that there is no greater truth in this world than Shabbos Kodesh. Everything Shabbos Kodesh represents is the ultimate MS. Paro has a funny vocabulary. His vocabulary, the way you say MS is you say Divrei Sheker, because that's classic human psychology. That's the way it goes. That's how it is.
So this is,
yes.
Sort of like a proof. Not that you need a proof, but the Pusuk, hey, Vayomer Paro, Hein Rabim Ator, Am Haaretz, the Hishbatem, Osam.
Hishbatem, the word Hishbatem. Shabbos, I never realized that. Wow. It was Kedai to wake up this morning and to hear that. The Hishbatem. V'hishbatem, right? The lashon v'hishbatem osam b'malachtam. In his own vocabulary, he's acknowledging it's all Shabbos. V'hishbatem. You're observing Shabbos. That's the problem here. The problem is it's Shabbos, and Shabbos is MS. And he's now in a state of denial, and he's calling it divrei shoker. Okay, so this is just a general John. That's why this parasha is all about Shabbos. It's really the whole parasha is the holiness of Shabbos Kodesh. Here's the roots of Shabbos. This is what keeps Klal Yisrael in Galus. There's nothing more than this. Than this is the word for Shabbos. Now I want to go off on a tangent. Already, I didn't realize how late it is. Time flies here when you're having fun with such a chashuv olam. I want to discuss something about Shabbos, about Divrei Emes of Shabbos, something that's very dear to my heart, which I have not really, I forgot a lot of this already, it's been a long time, but once upon a time, I spent a lot of time learning about the laws of the Shabbos morning Kiddush. Now, we all know about there's a mitzvah to make Kiddush Friday night. We make Kiddush, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to recite Kiddush Friday evening. Zochor es yoim HaShabbos L'Kadosho. You have to declare the sanctity of Shabbos. And Chazal have taught us how to do that. The way we do that is by davening Ma'ariv. And the way we do that also is by making Kiddush on Yayin Friday evening. That's the way we fulfill the mitzvah derayis of Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. Just as an aside, we know that the davening Ma'ariv Friday night, the Ma'ariv during the weekday, technically it's only a reshus. There's no obligation to daven Ma'ariv Friday night. Technically, not today, don't say that today. Today you have an obligation. We accept it as an obligation. Why? Because Ma'ariv corresponds to the burning of the fats on the Mizbeach, which burned the entire night. You offer carbon in the morning, and they would continue burning the leftovers of the carbon in the evening. And the shachar is tamid shel shachar, mincha is the tamid shel ben ha'arboyim, and ma'ariv is there's no carbon. You don't bring a carbon at night, but the carbonos that were offered by day, if there's leftover meat or fats that need to be burnt, they are burnt on the mizbech the entire evening. Now, what happens if you finish burning all of the fats and meat by day? Then you don't have to do anything at night. There's no obligation to burn something on the mizbech in the evening. You only burn things on the mizbech in the evening if there are leftovers. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, Friday night, did they burn anything Friday night? No, it seems not. I'm not sure, I don't remember. But it seems not, because it's Chil Shabbos. To burn basar on the fire on Shabbos, it's Chil Shabbos. Oh, but it's a carbon. Well, could you finish doing the burning of the carbon when it's day? Yes, certainly. They brought the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. That's plenty of time. Hour and 15 minutes, enough time to burn the limbs of the carbon and the fats. So there's no need to burn on Shabbos. And all other carbonates, which have no requirement to be brought, they can bring any day of the year you want. So those can be burned. So there's no need to burn. There's no need to burn fats and meat on the mizbeach.
They didn't have carbonates on Shabbos.
They had by day the following day.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Friday night? Was there anything burning on the mizbeach Friday night? L'chore not. I don't know for sure, but l'chore not. Why not? Because it's not necessary. The Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim of Friday was brought Friday afternoon before Shabbos began. 1 hour and 15 minutes before Shabbos began. You have 1 hour and 15 minutes to burn the fats and the meat of the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Is that enough time? I would assume, depends how big the fire is. The Gemara talks about the different fires in the Beis HaMikdash. They were big fires, small fires. Let's assume you have a very big fire. You can burn the entire thing within an hour and 15 minutes. So if you can burn the entire thing within, they have a very big fire, 1 hour and 15 minutes, there's no need for it to burn on the Mizbeach on Friday night. So let's assume Friday night there was nothing burning on the Mizbeach. So that would mean you don't need to daven Ma'ariv. Because the only reason why we daven Ma'ariv during the weekday is because it corresponds to the burning of the meat and the limbs, which remain burning at night. So they did. It's a reality. There was no rush. Sometimes they offer during the day thousands of carbonos. So they burnt all night the meat and the fats. But Friday, that's not necessary. Anything that's a voluntary offering should be brought during the week or on a Friday early morning. There's no need to mechal Shabbos to burn the mizbeach carbonos that could have been offered by day. Even the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, which is an obligation, can be finished before Shabbos begins. So if that's the case and nothing was burning on the mizbeach Friday night, why do we need to daven ma'ariv? That's right. You don't. You should be. And yet, what do? We do daven ma'ariv. Why? It must be that the obligation to daven ma'ariv Friday night is not a choice. It's an obligation. You have no choice. Ma'ariv throughout the entire week, Sunday, Mitzvah Shabbos, through Sunday, through Friday, through Thursday, is a reshus, if you want, yeah. But Ma'ariv Friday night is an obligation, because it does not correspond to the burning of the fats on the Mizbeach. Thus, if Chazal instituted that there should be a tefilas ma'ariv Friday night, that is an indication, that is an obligation. You don't have a choice. So the severity of ma'ariv Friday evening is much, much more severe than the severity of ma'ariv during the weekday. The ma'ariv during the weekday technically is not required. We do it anyway. And we must.
What about the Ma'ariv Matzah Shabbos?
No, they burn the fats of the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim of Shabbos, and the Musaf of Shabbos. Right, the leftovers. The Gemara actually asked a question that says that you bring the carbon Musaf, when they brought the Tamid Shel Shachar on Shabbos, and the Tamid Shal Ben Harbayim and the Karban Musaf, the Gemara asked the question, you should not burn anything until Mitzvah Shabbos. It's not necessary. It's Chil Shabbos. You should just sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach and put the meat on the top of the Mizbeach, and Motzoi Shabbos, you should burn it. Because you're allowed. You're allowed to burn it by day and the following night. The Gemara says, no. Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. A mitzvah in its proper time is precious to the degree you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Once the Torah said you bring the carbon Tamishal Shachar, Tamishal Ben Harboim, and the carbon Musaf on Shabbos, that allows you to actually burn the meat of the carbonos on Shabbos itself. But there's no emergency.
When did they clean out the ashes?
The following morning. The following morning.
From the Friday night fats.
Friday night, there was nothing. Friday night. Let's assume.
Well, not Friday, but late Friday.
The next morning. The Trumas Hadeshen. The next morning. The next day. They burned.
They did it on that part, they did on Shabbos.
So the Trumas Hadeshen, they have to do.
Yeah,
but they don't have to burn anything. There's ash from Friday afternoon.
Well,
they had to do shechita. They had to do shechita. Shechita is a malacha deraisa. They had to bring the ketoreh. They did the ketoreh. That's shreifa midaraisa. They did malachas. Clearly they did malachas. There's no question about it. But to minimize, the Gemara's question was, why do we have to, let's minimize the number of malachas that are necessary. So if there's no technical need to burn the emurim of the korbanos on Shabbos, why do it? We can wait until Mitzvah Shabbos, and we can do it then l'chatchila. And the Gemara says, you're right, technically you can wait until Mitzvah Shabbos, but you're permitted because chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. If the Torah tells you to bring a korban tamishal shachar, tamishal ben arbaim, a korban musaf, included in bringing the korban is the permission to burn the emurim on Shabbos Kodesh.
So Friday night not?
No, because Friday night you could have burnt all of the emurim Friday afternoon. Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. When do you bring the Tamid Shal Ben Abam on Friday?
But if it wasn't finished, I mean it's the...
So if it wasn't finished, I don't know the answer. I'm assuming you can still do it. You can still burn it Friday night, even if you didn't
There's
do
no
it.
There's no pickle by emurim, right?
No, there's no pickle by. I mean, the pickle is there until you get to the emurim. Let's not talk about pickle now. It's not relevant pickle in this topic. But the point over here is the Myrif. I just want a small point and develop the whole thing over here. The point I want to make is that the Myrif Friday night is a chiyuv. It's not like the Myrif during the week. During the week, the primary reason why we daven the three tefillos is to correspond to the Tamid Shal Shachar, the Tamid Shal Ben Harboim is mincha, and the burning of the emurim at night. The burning of the emurim at night did not have to happen. If the kohanim would have concluded the burning of the emurim by day, then the mizbech technically would be empty. There would be no activity on the mizbech at night.
The same thing, so the two nights, Friday night and Matzah Shabbos.
No, Mitzvah Shabbos is not an emergency. Mitzvah Shabbos, they brought the Shabbos.
There was nothing left to burn.
Let's say they burned it slow. They didn't have to burn it. They didn't have to burn it super fast. They didn't have to burn. There's no rush. Shabbos, they brought three korbanos: Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim, and the Musafim. So they put the meat on the mizbeach and they let it burn. So if the fire was a small fire or there wasn't enough wood, so they let it burn. So let's say now Shabbos is over and it wasn't completely burnt. So no big deal. So you continue letting it burn, Mitzvah Shabbos. No big deal. There's no Chil Shabbos. You burnt it on. You're allowed to burn it on Shabbos. If for whatever reason, you know, you're not in any rush, there's no emergency to burn the whole thing on Shabbos, you go slow. It doesn't burn by Shabbos time, it's a short day, it's a winter day. Shabbos is over very early, so you have leftovers that were not yet burned, so gezun day, let it burn the whole Mitzvah Shabbos. Oh, Daven Myrif. Just like on the Mizbeach, there is emurim that are burning on the Mizbeach, Daven Myrif. But sometimes there were no emurim burning on the Mizbeach at night because it was already done. So then, you don't Daven Myrif. Yes or no? If that's the case, then Friday night there should not be a Myrif. You Daven Mincha, you say Kabbal Shabbos, and you go home. Because guess what? In the Beis HaMikdash, on the Mizbeach, there's nothing burning. There's nothing burning because it's Chil Shabbos. And they could have done it on Friday, so do it on Friday. The mitzvah is to bring the Torah tomorrow. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll say Shachris and Mincha. But Ma'ariv, we're not on Friday night. There's no Ma'ariv, so we should go home after you finish davening Mincha and Kabbalah Shabbos. Everyone should get up and should go home. So why is the Olam lingering around? Why are they loitering in the shul, putting themselves at risk for Corona, to be Meiser Nefesh to daven Ma'ariv? Why? Chazal instituted you have to daven Ma'ariv. Ooh, it has nothing to do with the Emurim. That means it's an obligation. You don't have a choice. It's not a reshus. Why did Chazal make it an obligation? Well, what is so unique about it that they demanded it be an obligation? The answer is because they use the Ma'ariv as an opportunity to make Kiddush. Zochor es yoim ha-Shabbos l'kadeshoi. They want to sanctify the Shabbos. And the way you're going to sanctify the Shabbos is through davening Ma'ariv. And as well, when you come home to eat, you're going to recite Kiddush al hayayin. You're going to recite Kiddush. This is how you're going to sanctify the day to mekayim zochor es yoim ha-Shabbos l'kadeshoi. Now, what about making Kiddush Shabbos morning? I want to run through some of the halachas now. What about making Kiddush Shabbos morning? Is there an obligation? No. The only obligation is once a day. Zochor es yoim ha-Shabbos l'kadosho once. When? At night. You did it once, you're done. Shabbos day, you have no obligation. However, midrabbanan, they said, you should make Kiddush by day as well on a rabbinic level. How do we make Kiddush? On wine, whatever, we'll talk about the halachas. The Kiddush of Shabbos morning is called Kiddusho Rabbah. Why is it called Kiddusho Rabbah? Why is it called by that term? So the answer is because Kiddush, it's a euphemism. Rabbah means literally the great one, but really it means the small one. No, it's just like Paro. V'al yishu b'divrei shoker. He really meant divrei emes. Shabbos is the ultimate truth. The morning Kiddush is a minor Kiddush because it's not biblical. It's only rabbinic. And in order to indicate that it's rabbinic and not biblical, we really would want to call the Kiddusha Ketana, the small Kiddush, or I don't know, you figure out another term for it, a term to indicate that it's minor. But it's not nice. It's not nice to say that the Shabbos Kiddush is minor. They don't insult it. So we give it a euphemism called Kiddusho Rabbah, the great Kiddush. It's a euphemism to indicate that it's only rabbinic, it's not biblical. Now, there are a lot of halachas about Kiddush. Now, let's talk about some of the more bizarre halachas. Number one, being that it's a deraisa, the first time I saw this, it blew my mind. I was shocked. Let me explain to you what I saw. A number of years ago, I davened on Rosh Hashanah. Someone asked me to help them be mashlim a minyan. They needed, I don't remember why I was there. He needed me for something, a minyan for Russians. Now, this minyan, what I understand, has been going on. I don't know if they still have it anymore. But what I understand was going on since the early 80s, when the Soviet Union let out all of the Jews to America. And in America at that time, there were literally tens of thousands of Jews all over the place, Russian Jews, all over New York, that very sadly knew next to nothing about Yadus. Unbelievable tragedy how people who come from the greatest stock could have fallen due to the persecution of communism and persecution, what they did to Achein B'nai Yisrael. They came to America. Many of them were elderly people. I don't know, all different ages, but many people were, you know, older people, and they knew not literally nothing. And there were organizations that were put together to do this, to do that, shuvu. And every Rosh Hashanah, there was a person over here in this neighborhood that organized a minyan for Rosh Hashanah for these people. And he told me that when he first started, he had in the thousands. I don't know if that means 1,000, 2,000, but more than 1,000 people attended this minyan Rosh Hashanah morning. Now, these people knew nothing, and they're not going to sit around until 4 o'clock. Okay, this is not going to be the Chaim Berlin. Davening will start at 7:45, and you're going to go home at 4 o'clock. It's not going to work like that. This is going to be a very quick minyan for people who know don't even know how to read, many of them, and we just want them to hear shofar and, you know, open up their minds for the possibility of maybe taking a course in basic Judaism and influencing them to send their children to yeshiva. You know,
there were two machzorim for them. Alti Daim had a machzor in Russian and Lubavitch had a machzor in Russian.
So I went to the minyan. So what was the minyan? This is how the minyan worked. They basically, it was like going to a first grade class. Very sad. They basically, the one who led the minyan, he basically sang everything. He skipped all around. He started by maybe singing brachas. He sang like Mamach in kindergarten, Ashrei, and a few parts of Psuki the Zimra. And then he read the entire Birchas Kriya Shema. He sang Shema, the same way they sing Shema in kindergarten. He went to Shema Yisrael. He went through the whole Shema word by word. Then he dived into Shemona Esrei. How do they do the Shemona Esrei? I don't even remember. Then they laned. And after laning, immediately after they finished laning, immediately with no delay, they made the bracha on the shofar. You know, everything, of course, ceremoniously. A lot of, to explain what's going on. They blew the shofar 30 koilos. By the way, immediately, right after they finished laning. They had a short psukei de zimra, birchas kriya shma, shmona esrei, kriya satoira, and they leaned. And then they blew 30 koilos, no musaf, because this is already more than enough. These people don't even know how to read Rachman Litzlan. There's not going to be any musaf. And then they blew 30 koilos, and then kiddush. You're not going to let these people go home without giving them some good food. Okay? Rosh Hashanah. Some honey cake. You can't let them go home without some schnapps, some honey cake, some vodka. Okay? These are, you know. So they sat down and he made Kiddush. Now, how do you make Kiddush? How do you make Kiddush? Everything was a Kiddush to me. I was watching all this. I was there. When I was there, the minyan had already how many people? 30 people, 25 people. What used to be 1,000 people, now he was down. The same person was down to a minyan with about 20, 30 people. Unfortunately, most of the people died by this time. And or they became fully observant and they're in regular minyanim, or whatever happened. They dropped out. He was now down to about 30 people. Maybe more men and women, maybe a little bit more. It was very interesting to watch. All Russians had a very difficult life. These were elderly, mostly very elderly people who had probably been around already since from the very beginning when he started this minyan. And then he sits down to make Kiddush. So how do you make Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah morning? So I know what you do. You say, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, b'kesel liyom chagenu, ki choyk liyishol hu mishpa lelokei Yaakov, savri, Menonon, Vrabun, Rabbasai, Burkhato Hashem, Lokinu Melchoyalom, Boyre, Priya Gofen, right? That's how most of us make Kiddush Shab, Rosh Hashanah morning. You say a pasuk that relates to the theme of Rosh Hashanah, and then you say Savri, and you make a Boyre Priya Gofen. So he sits down with the Becher, and he says, Burkhato Hashem, Lokinu Melchoyalom, Asher Bochar, how does the Kiddush go for Yom Tov night? Asher Bochar,
Mikolo
Amim, Bikolam, v'ramimanu bikoloshon v'kidishon b'mitzvaso v'ati tinlanu Hashem Elokeinu es yoim hazikoroin hazeh yoim teruah mikra kodesh zeicha liyitzias Mitzrayim. And he reads, he's singing, it's a very beautiful, melodious voice. He says the kiddush of Rosh Hashanah night by day, with all of the bells and whistles, with Sheimu Malchus, he's making brachas. I think he made a Shechayonu also. The whole 9 yards. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at, what in the world are you doing?
Exactly,
that's the halacha, the point I want to illustrate. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm the Am HaAretz, what in the world are you doing? Like, this like Mamash Brocha Levatola. Like, what are you doing? This is the Kiddush for Yom Tov night. Not the Kiddush for Yom Tov day. Yom Tov day, there's no real Kiddush. You just take a Bore Priyagofa and you say a Pasuk to indicate. So after, I think, Baruch Hashem, I was at least I had enough seichel to keep my mouth shut. The whole thing was a Chiddush to me. This whole ceremony was a Chiddush to me. But, and then after the Kiddush, they made Al HaMichya, and everyone went home. And then the leftovers, the people they brought together for this, David Musaf. That's why I was there, we David Musaf. So the whole minyan, the ceremony was for these individuals. It was for them, the shachris, the laning, the 30 koilos, and kiddush. And after they left, then started Musaf. I don't remember if we made it to 30 koilos. I don't even remember what we did, but we started the Musaf, a regular long Musaf for just people that were not part of that group, because that group, they all went home. They're done. Enough. You know, you don't overwhelm. Don't overwhelm your customers. So I asked, what in the world did you do? She says, you don't know basic halacha? Where have you been? Shiva Bacha Am HaAretz. Where have you been? The people here didn't make Kiddush last night. If they made Kiddush last night, they wouldn't be a millionaire altogether. These are people who, unfortunately, Rachman al-Islam, don't know the Aleph Beis. They didn't hear Kiddush last night. They were not Mekayim, the Kiddush of the Laila. If you're not Mekadesh, the Kiddush of the Laila, the halacha is you say the Kiddush with the bracha b'yoyim. There's a mitzvah when it comes to Shabbos. I don't know if it's the Yom Tov is a machlokes rishonim. I saw recently it's a machlokes rishonim. The Kiddush on Yom Tov is deraisa or derabanan. Kiddush on Shabbos is deraisa. And some make a mistake and think that if you daven Ma'ariv, that's the Kiddush deraisa. That's not so simple at all to say. A lot of people like to say that. You see, it's a sloppy thing to say. That when you daven Ma'ariv, that's the Kiddush deraisa. And when you come to making with alakos Friday night, that's only midrabanan. No, that's not so simple to say. We dedicate, it's almost the given is that we dedicate the making of the Kiddush al Yayin to be the Daraisa. It's as if we have Kavana, that when we dive in Ma'ariv, that our Ma'ariv should not be, we have a Kavana, it should not be a Kiyum Daraisa of Kiddush. The average person, when they dive in Ma'ariv Friday night, it's as if you made a Tanai. It's as if you went to give a clap on the bima and you said, Rabbi Isai, I want everyone here in this shul to know that when I dive in this Ma'ariv, I'm having kavana, I should not be mekayim the mitzvah de'oraisa of Zohar es yoyim ha'shabos l'kadosh. Because I want to save that for the kiddush I'm going to make at home with my family, my wife and my children, al hakois. I want to save the deraisa for later. So now I'm going to do. I'm going to dive in a mayer of derabon. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to dive in a mayer. If I know that tonight I'm not going to be eating for whatever the reason is, okay. So now I want my mayer to be the kiddush. But the kiddush that you make Friday night, that is the kim deraisa of zohar es yom shabbos lekadosh. There's a machlekes amongst the rishonim. If we apply the same by extension, we say the same thing is true when it comes to yom tif. The din d'oraisa of Zohar es Yom Tov l'kadosh. Is there such a principle? Yes, some say yes, some say not. Let's now say, for whatever the reason is, yes. Let's make believe. It doesn't matter. But there's definitely at least a mitzvah d'rabanan at night, to make kiddush at night with its own unique bracha. Make a special bracha.
If you make that bracha again by Shabbos day, it's a bracha levatola. You only do it once a day. Zachar is Jerem Shabbat only once a day, not twice a day. So now it comes in the morning. So that's only if you did it. But let's say you did not do it. You did not make Kiddush Friday night. Then when you make Kiddush Shabbos day, you have to recite the entire bracha, the nusach, from beginning to end. And that's why in this minyan, who was made specifically for people who, Rachmanu Litzlan, were not observant or knew very, very little, and they certainly did not make Kiddush, or at least many of them did not hear Kiddush the evening before. So this is going to be the first time they're going to be making Kiddush. Thus, the halacha is you say the Kiddush of at night, you say it by day. And it was a very practical halacha. The same way that was true in Rosh Hashanah, that's true by Kiddush every Shabbos. And this halacha, the people not that everyone knows, because it happens. There are people that don't feel well, and they go to sleep, and they don't make Kiddush. It happens all the time. They're knocked out, they're sleeping, or for whatever the reason, all different circumstances. Many, many things happen in this world that are very bizarre. They don't hear Kiddush Friday night. When you make Kiddush Shabbos day, then you make the nusach of the Kiddush of Friday night. Now you don't say Vayichulu. That you don't. You start with the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvasav, v'ratzavanu, v'shabbas kodesho. I'm forgetting the nusach already out of context, but you start with the baruch. When you make Kiddush for the very first time, Shabbos day, you do not recite Vayichulu. You don't say Vayer Vavok Yom Hashishi Vayichul, that you do not do. You start with the bracha. You start with the bracha. Bari Priya Gofen, and then the bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvasav, v'ratzavanu, v'shabbas kodesho b'yavaratzun chaltanu. That is a halacha that not everyone knows, that very important halacha. Okay, now let's talk about another. Interesting halacha. When is the beginning, the earliest? When are you obligated to? This is very practical. What I'm about to tell you, which also many people do not know. When do you, the earliest man, are you obligated to recite Kiddush? Meaning, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat before you recite Kiddush. Now, before, let's discuss a healthy person, Baruch Hashem. A healthy person wakes up in the morning, Shabbos morning. Are you allowed to have a cup of coffee before you say Kiddush? Under ordinary circumstances, after davening is over, when you come home from davening and you want to eat, you're not allowed to take a drink of water. Even water is off limits. Certainly not coffee, tea, any beverage. There's nothing to talk about. After davening is over, everyone knows the halacha. It's beferish halacha, meaning the laws of Kiddush. It is forbidden for a man or man and woman. No difference, man and woman. A man, a woman. No difference between a man and a woman. You have an obligation to first recite Kiddush before you even drink water. What about before davening? No problem. You can drink water before davening. You can have coffee before davening. Some people go to Chabad. Chabad, they have very, very lenient, extremely lenient approach to this halacha. They even will give you some schnapps, some cake. They'll give you a whole meal before davening, which is shocking, but they're extremely lenient. It's breakfast. The obligation to recite Kiddush begins when? Here's the big dilemma. Let's just talk practical halacha lemaisa, not get involved in every single opinion. After Shacharis. When Shacharis is over, that's when the obligation to recite Kiddush begins. Being that you have not yet daven Shacharis, you have no obligation to recite Kiddush. So then, are you allowed to eat? Well, there's a separate halacha. There's a halacha that says, Lesoichlu al hadam, don't drink blood, which Chazal interpret to mean, in addition to the simple meaning, do not eat before you pray for your blood, for your life. Being the Pasuk says, do not eat, Chazal derive, you're not allowed to eat, but you're allowed to drink. What are you allowed to drink? Well, water for sure you can drink. Can you drink coffee? Well, if there's no sugar for sure, tea for sure, if there's sugar, well, the Mishnah Berurah already, the meaning of Olam is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to be very lenient when it comes to drinking. With sugar, with milk, whatever you want. That's the reality. The reality is, drinking, as long as you call it a drink, you can do whatever you want. That's the minhag. If you want to be machmir, all right, we're not talking about that over here. What about a little piece of cake? Go to a hotel and they serve, so you know they have a tea room before shacharis. What about a little, you know, cheat a little bit? Not so simple. It's eating. You'll say, but I'm very weak. I'm weak. I'm faint. I need, you know, the bill. You know how much it costs to pay for the hotel? I have fatigue from thinking about the expense. I'm schwach. So I need to, mechazik myself. So a little cake. Everyone wants the cake, a little this, a little
Ryan,
that.
Yeah. You decide to make kiddush even before davening?
I'm coming to that right now. So the answer basically is no, you cannot. Because the obligation to make kiddush begins only after you finish shacharis. Before you finish shacharis, there is no obligation to make kiddush. Are you allowed to eat or drink? That has nothing to do with kiddush. That has to do with a halach of l'soich l'alim. Whatever you do Tuesday morning before davening, you do a Shabbos morning before davening. If it's Tuesday morning before davening, you have a cup of coffee, so you can have a cup of coffee, you have a Shabbos before davening. If for whatever reason, your minug, your rabbi has granted you permission to eat a little piece of cake, a little piece of food before davening on a Tuesday morning, so you can do the same thing Shabbos morning. It has nothing to do with kiddush. Do you make kiddush? No. You don't make kiddush. Kiddush first begins when you finish shacharis. Now, there are two very important points here. Define for me when exactly is shacharis over. Does Kriyas HaTorah, is that part of shacharis? This is very relevant when I was in camp, Mogen Avraham, back in the day. What was the custom in Kim Mogen Avraham? We daven shacharis, and after we finished the chazoras hashatz, this is what they did. Don't ask me right or wrong. This is what they did. After chazoras hashatz, the whole camp goes to the dining room for kiddush, and they give everyone cookies. I'm sure today the standards of what they give them today, the type of cookies that we got those days, they don't even sell in the store. Okay, I have no doubt that if someone says this, I say, oh, you send your kids to camp? It's camp? What? Do I send my kids to a hotel for the summer? what kind of term is that? Camp. He's making litzanis. You send your children to camp. Do you send your children to a hotel for the summer? Okay, spoil them rotten. Okay, so they gave us these things that they called cookies. I don't know exactly what they were. So, and they made kiddush. Zochor es yom haShabbos l'kadoshei. Wait a minute. We didn't lain yet. There was no Kriyas HaTorah yet. Why are you making kiddush? Shachris is not over. Shachris in the Siddur, it still says Shachris, even when it says Asher, right? We had this discussion. In the Siddurim, it's still on the title of the page. Shacharis appears all the way, even when you're saying Ashrei, until Chatzi Kaddish, but before Musaf. So we didn't finish Shachris yet. Why are you making Kiddush? So in Achanam, there are some opinions that say that that if you want to eat, the Kiddush Club, be much better to have the Kiddush Club before landing than after landing. Because if you have the Kiddush Club before landing, you don't need to make Kiddush. You don't need to make Kiddush. Because you're allowed to eat. Why are you allowed to eat? I davened. There's no violation of Le'soich Lol Hadam. Perfect. You're only not allowed to eat before you daven. I davened. I davened Shacharis. So I can eat whatever I want. Oh, you're going to tell me, Kiddush? Hey, Kiddush first begins when Shacharis is over. Shacharis ain't over until you finish laning. We didn't lane yet. The ideal time to have Kiddush Club is between Chazaras HaShatz
and Kriyas HaTorah. You can eat whatever you want and you don't have to make Kiddush. No problem. However, that's not accepted by the vast majority of Klal Yisrael. I have a whole sefer on this, just this dilemma alone. A whole chunk on this, a source of this I have over here in the room where we actually want to, a very interesting sefer, has a lot of incredible stuff. To research this to the end of the world, because it's very hard to find what's the bottom line. And he basically shows, after a very, very long, detailed discussion, is that Shachris L'Halacha L'Maisa begins after Chazaras HaShatz. Like what they did in Camp Magen Avraham was correct. After Chazaras HaShatz, regardless of what it says in the Siddur, as far as Kiddush is concerned, Shacharis is over, and you're not allowed to put into your mouth even a cup of water until you make Kiddush. Now, this is something which is very interesting for Bar Mitzvah boys and Balei Kriya. There are certain Balei Kriya that want to have a little sip of water in the middle of laning, or before they begin to lane, to wet their throat. You want a little bit, you know, to wet your throat, maybe even the rabbi. Some rabbis, they give their drasha before Kriya Satorah. They want to take a sip of water before they give the drasha. So if you hold that the chiv of Kiddush does not begin until after Kriya Satorah, the Baal Kriya can take sips of water in between each aliyah. You don't have to make Kiddush. Bar Mitzvah boy can take sips of water, no big deal. But Halacha L'maaseh, we don't accept that. I think though, I can't get conflicting reports in Ger. I'm not a Ger Chassid, even though my great-grandfather, the one who I was named after, a person whose name was Ephraim David, and he was the Ger Chassid. That explains everything, right? He was the Ger Chassid, and in Ger, they have a minhag to learn before they lane. And I was told, I have conflicting reports about this, is that many of the Ger Chassidim, they have coffee without Kiddush during the learning session. That's what they do in Ger. They daven Shachris, and you sit and learn for an hour, or whatever it is. You sit and learn. And after you sit and learn, then they have Kriyas HaTorah. During the learning session, are you allowed to have coffee? So I was told they do. Some of them they do, without reciting Kiddush. How can you do that? Kiddush does not begin until Shacharis is over. Shacharis ends for them, they hold, those who do this, when you finish Kriyas HaTorah. That's not popular. That is I'm not even sure they all do it. Maybe some of them do it. Halacha L'maisa, I spent a lot of time trying to find out the bottom line. Halacha L'maisa, the bottom line is Kiddush begins after you finish Chazaras HaShatz. And you're not allowed, from that moment on, you're not allowed to put water into your mouth. You're not allowed to put, now one more shiloh, look, therefore once you finish Chazaras HaShatz, you're done. Now you'll ask another question, which I didn't even spend time on. He goes even further. When exactly is Shacharis over? What about after your silent Shmona Esrei? Or after the Chazaras HaShatz? When the Chazan. In other words, if you want to sneak out, you daven a fast, still a Shmona Esrei, are you allowed to sneak out of Shul into the Kiddush room and have some food before the Chazan begins? Baruch atah Hashem. Before the Chazan begins, the Chazaras HaShatz, chaperayim, something to eat. I already davened, so there's no prohibition of eating. And Shacharis ain't over until the end of Chazaras HaShatz. You have to have the vaccine twice to be immune, right? You have to have the second shot. Everyone knows that joke, I'm sure, right? So when is Shacharis over? After the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, after Chazaras HaShatz? I don't know. Mestaver after the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei. Once you finish your silent Shmoneh Esrei, it appears that's when the obligation to recite Kiddush begins. It begins, now you must recite Kiddush. You're not allowed to even put water into your mouth until you recite Kiddush. Okay, so that's a very important halacha that everyone knows. Now let's go to one more. When Meir asked this question, this is also a very critical question. Let's say a person he comes to the hotel and there's a tea room, which is totally illegal because there's no difference between men and women. You have to daven,
But you go into the tea room and you see there things you've never seen in your life. You go there for your cup of coffee, right? You shouldn't even go there. It's a danger. It's a danger zone to go there. You go into the tea room and you see there, whoo, and you say, Shulchan Aruch? What's that? I see your food. And you're going to sit down and you're going to enjoy yourself before Shacharis with a delicious, delicious, delicious experience. Question. If you're anyway going to eat before Shacharis, do you make Kiddush? Before Shacharis? So the answer is no, you don't. If you're going to violate the law and you're going to eat a meal before Shacharis, what you're doing is forbidden. That's the bottom line. You're not allowed to do this. This is shaloi kahalacha if you're a healthy person. And therefore, don't make Kiddush. There's no need to make Kiddush. If you'll make the Kiddush now, I mean, what's the big deal? If you make Kiddush, what are you doing anyway? You're just saying a boy priya gofen. You're not even making a bracha levatola. The Kiddush you make in the morning is not the Kiddush at night. You're just saying a boy priya gofen. The nafkamina, though, is that after davening is over, you're not allowed to eat until you make Kiddush again. Because the Kiddush you made in the morning is worthless. You're not allowed to eat before davening. There's no permission to eat before davening. So therefore, there's no obligation to make Kiddush. The Kiddush begins after Shacharis. So if you decide for whatever reason to go to a hotel and you want to splurge and you don't want to be concerned, you don't want to be confused with the facts and you want to have a nice, delicious meal before davening, Chabad. I'm not coming to say anything negative, Chas v'Shalom. I have a very soft spot, my heart for Chabad. I'm a very big fan of Chabad. But in Chabad, this is what they do. They mamash do this. They go before davening, they have a shir. This is what they do. You come to shul, 9 o'clock, maybe even later, and they have a rabbi. And the rabbi, I know in Boston, they have a very dynamic, he mamash, an incredible guy, a tzaddik. He said, Olam, such a lovable person. When I go to Boston, they're the Chabad rabbi, unbelievable person. And he was mamish mechazek, the oil, you come to davening, 9 o'clock, and they serve food, delicious food, and he gives a shir. And then they start davening about 9:30, 9:45.
After Zman Fila, because they...
All right, whatever. No, Zman, whatever they do.
No,
so,
I'm saying, okay. If someone misses davening, he doesn't want to daven. He still has to make Kiddush, right?
No, wait. So here is the law. This is the rule. This is the important rule. The halacha doesn't change. There is absolutely no obligation to begin to recite Kiddush until after Shacharis is over, period.
If your Shacharis or the
your Shacharis, your personal Shacharis, your
and
Shacharis.
If you don't have Shacharis?
What do you mean you don't have Shacharis? You're not going to daven? You're not going to daven? If you're not gonna,
no.
A woman's not going to daven. You're right.
A bunch of guys who come to Chabad.
One thing at a time. All right, one thing. Let's discuss normal people. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. We're dealing with a person that's going to daven Shacharis. He's planning to daven Shacharis. Man and woman, they're going to daven Shacharis. Just the Shemona Esrei. Many women will just daven the Shemona Esrei. Say, Shema and the Shemona Esrei. You're going to daven. If you're going to daven Shemona Esrei, you're going to daven Shacharis, and you're a healthy person, you're not allowed to eat before davening. Why are you eating before davening? I don't know. That's none of my business. That's none of your business. None of my business. None of anyone's business. You're eating, whatever the reason is, you're eating. But that doesn't change the halacha. And therefore, since you're planning to daven Shacharis, the obligation to recite Kiddush first begins after Shacharis. So if you're going to make Kiddush now, before davening, and have a whole meal, for whatever reason, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense, that is not called Kiddush. And it's not going to exempt you from Kiddush after you daven Shacharis. There's only one exception. The only exception is if you are halachically a choyle. If your doctor tells you, the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is you eat a meal. You must eat a meal. You are a choyle. Before you say mode ani, you must eat. If you are under orders of a doctor, you have to have a substantial meal before davening that includes carbohydrates, mezonos. Mezonos, either bread or cake, then you are the exception.
then you make kiddush now before you daven, or someone should make kiddush for you before davening. You make, and then daven shachris, and then after shachris, you don't have to make kiddush. Because the kiddush you made before davening is the real kiddush. Why? Because halachically, you're a choyle. So a person, this is an interesting concept. A choyle, you have to make kiddush before you eat. The zman of achila for the average person begins after shachris. That's the halacha. A choyle is an exception. His zman achila begins before shachris. So a choyle makes kiddush, he must make kiddush before he eats. He's not allowed to eat. Can you imagine, it's bizarre. A regular person wakes up in the morning, they can drink a cup of coffee. A choyle who wakes up in the morning can't drink a cup of coffee. Because he already has upon him the choyva, the obligation to make kiddush. It's strange, right? It's very strange. Now, of course, we're dealing where he can do it. You know, we're not dealing with a crazy circumstance where he's such a choyla, he has to drink also the second he wakes up. But a person who was under doctor's orders, when you wake up in the morning, before you go to shul, don't even walk out of the house until you eat breakfast. So that person, the moment he wakes up, he's not allowed to even drink a cup of coffee. He has to immediately make kiddush, and then he eats his breakfast. And then he goes about his day, he goes to daven, and when he finishes davening, he doesn't have to make kiddush, because he already had kiddush in the morning. But a person that's not a choyle, a healthy person, the halacha does not change no matter what you do. Your obligation to recite kiddush begins after shachris, which means before laning, after your private Shemona Esrei. If you decide, for whatever reason, which is none of our business, to have a delicious meal before davening, whatever your reasons are, none of our business, but you're a healthy person, then you don't make kiddush. Eat. Do what you want to do. But don't make kiddush. It's nonsense. You're making kiddush is nonsense. It's a perversion of the halacha. It's bad enough that you're eating. Don't make it worse by making them into a religion and making kiddush. That's the disgrace. You want to eat, eat. But don't pervert it by making the kiddush on the eating, because that's shaloika halacha. The chiyuv kiddush begins after shachris. Chabad, they don't make kiddush before davening. They don't do that. Never heard them do such a thing. The Chabad, they have their reasons. You can allow to eat before davening, but they don't pervert the halacha. That they don't do. They don't go say, we're going to make kiddush before davening. That's shloika halacha. The Feirish and Shulchan Aruch, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the chiyuv kiddush begins after shachris. It's the first halacha. Achar, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch or the Mishnah Brura about Kriyas HaTorah. It's amazing. Totally leaves it hanging. It's an amazing omission to define, it's shocking, to define what is called Achar Shachris. What exactly is Shachris? When you have a Kriyas HaTorah, Leining HaTorah, Ashrei, what's the moment? You have to go search high and low, and no one really has clarity. There are different halachim, but halacha l'maisa, we follow the shita after your private Shemona Esrei. That's already the chiyuv shachris begins, the chiyuv kiddush begins. And if you're going to eat before davening, so eat, because when they ate, no one's going to have a taina on you if you can eat before davening, but don't make kiddush. Choyle, different story. Okay, so we learn over here about, to summarize, we learned about val yishu b'divrei shoker. More than the Jew keeps the Shabbos, the Shabbos keeps the Jew. It was the Shabbos that got us out of Egypt. That's the fact. In Shabbos, we sanctify. Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim Yismach Moshe Manas Chelkoi Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. This is Mitzvah Deraisa, Friday night. It's not the Ma'ariv. That's a sloppy thing to say. Oh, I daven Ma'ariv already. I was Yoytze Midoraisa. So when I come home now, I make Kishol Midorabonon. That's not so simple. Some people say that, but that's not a davar pashut at all. Many will say that I read a whole article on this. It's an irresponsible thing to say that. You have to look in the Mekoros to see bidiyuk how this all of this works. The machshav of the average person is to sanctify it with kiddush alakos in your home with your family. That's the daraisa. If you don't do it at night, you do it by day. You make the whole bracha by day. By day we have kiddush rabba. Kiddush rabba, it's a euphemism. It's the kiddush ketana, not the great one, relative to the night. And we learn, and the halacha, when does this man kiddush begin? After shachris, what is called shachris, after solid shmona esrei, before kriyas haTorah. And if you're going to eat before davening, gesunte heit, eat all you want, but don't make kiddush. But if you're a chayla, make the kiddush. That summarized the whole shir in 2 minutes, in 130 seconds. All right, have a wonderful day.
So for kiddush in the day is not a deraisa?
No, definitely not.
Okay, davening is a
deraisa? Mm-hmm. Davening is deraisa. That's a big machlokes rishayin.
Okay, so if someone comes and he's not going to daven, let him make kiddush.
If someone's going to come, no, it's not. The kiddush is the rabbanan. The davening is rabbanan.
But he comes in. He comes in Friday.
No. There's a halach in Shulchan
Aruch. Comes in when everyone's sitting to eat. He comes in, he didn't daven anything. Does he make kiddush or no?
No. No, he didn't daven yet.
He can daven.
You can. There's a Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, the Kiddush is made achar tefillah shachris. It's the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. In laws of Shabbos. In the Shabbos, the right day. The obligation to make Kiddush begins after you daven shachris. A person comes into shul, did not daven altogether. He can eat without making Kiddush. I mean, he's not supposed to eat. There's another halacha. Loi soichlu al hadam. You're going to fudge these halachas and say, oh, bizman hazeh, we're so weak, we have to eat before we daven shachris? There are people who say that. What does that mean, everyone is a chol? You can't say everyone is a chol. That's ridiculous. Everyone is not in the cad. No one says it. Every person walking the streets is begeder chol. There are cholim, and there are people that are not cholim. So why are the people that are not cholim eating
but
before davening?
But you're putting it on Chazaris HaShas. Let's say a guy wakes up at 9 o'clock and where he is, there's only one minion, a Hashkama minion.
Yeah. So he missed Shachas. So he missed Shachas. So he davened B'yichidus. Meisten b'chol yoyim.
There's no Chazaris HaShas.
So I said after the Shalom Shmona Esra, I told you after the Shalom Shmona Esra, I didn't say the Chazaris HaShas. I said the dilemma. Let's say if you have a Chazaris HaShas, so maybe then the Chiv will not begin until after the Chazaris HaShas. No, I said it's not likely. But when you don't even have Chazaris HaShas, there's nothing to talk about. V'davim yechidus is a given, is a davar pasha, that after you finish your Shalom Shmona Esra, now the Chiv is first triggered. And once you chayv to make Kiddush, you're not allowed to drink even water. Even water. And women... So he has a question. What about a woman? Let's say a woman who does not plan to daven shachris, period. There are many women like that. They don't daven shachris altogether. Nothing. Right. So l'char, so them, it's more chomor. For them, they have a question if they're even allowed to drink water. Here are the two sides. There are two opinions in this matter. Some hold women become part of their husband. Okay? They're tofel to their husband, which basically means a woman who does not plan to daven shachris. She doesn't daven, that's the way it is. She wakes up in the morning, and she's not going to daven shachris. When can she have a cup of coffee? So I think most boys can say yes. She basically follows the timeline of her husband. She can make an evaluation. Right now, where is my husband up to?
Good question.
Where is my husband up to now? Right now, It's 9:30 in shul. They're up to shoychein ad. They did not yet finish davening shachris. So therefore, I woke up at 9:30. I can have a cup of coffee. Once it's already 10:15, the wife has to assume that her husband already finished davening shachris. She can no longer eat until she makes kiddush. A wife who's not going to daven shachris has to. Most poskim say, this is what I've seen, most poskim say, a woman who is not planning on davening shachris on her own should follow the timeline of her husband, which is a leniency, which allows her to have coffee, tea, and maybe a little cake, if she, you know, something very light. As long as she can assume her husband did not yet, the shul that she's affiliated with, they did not yet finish shachris. Once that shul finished shachris, then she's no longer allowed to eat anything until she makes Kiddush. Those who want to be machmir will tell you that since she personally is not davening Shacharis, so it's as if Shacharis is already finished. So she can't even drink a cup of water until she makes Kiddush. I don't see women do that. That's something that's too much of a chumrah to do that.
So what about if they are going to daven Shacharis?
Oh, if they are going to daven Shacharis, they're independent people. So if they're going to daven Shacharis, if she's playing daven Shacharis, and it's 11 o'clock, it's 12 o'clock, and she did not yet herself daven Shacharis, and she plans to daven Shacharis, she can still have a cup of coffee.
She can't eat.
Eating is all part of the other halacha of Leisuch L'Adam.
So but women are bound by that halacha.
If a woman is going to daven Shacharis, she becomes completely independent. I'm going to daven Shacharis. It's now 12 o'clock. In shul, they already finished the whole davening. They're already done totally. But I didn't daven Shacharis yet. And I am going to daven Shacharis. So for me, it's before Shacharis. I'm allowed to have a cup of coffee. And when I finish davening Shacharis, then I'm chayev to have Kiddush. But if I'm not going to daven Shacharis, it's not for me. I don't daven Shacharis. So then she has to at least join her husband. Join his timeline. His timeline is about, I don't know, what's the average time they finish davening Shemoneh Esrei in a regular shul? 10 o'clock. Okay, something like that. So until 10 o'clock, she can have coffee and tea and a little something very light to eat. But after 10 o'clock, no. That's it. Kiddush. You have to make Kiddush. So big deal. Make Kiddush yourself. You can make Kiddush even on orange juice. Big deal. I'll talk about other halachas. It's not a big deal to me. People, they make sure a big deal. I can't make Kiddush. What's the big deal? If you don't want to drink grape juice, you don't like grape juice. So b'di'eved, you can make Kiddush on coffee. Anyway, you can have coffee, right? So make Kiddush in the coffee. Make Kiddush in the coffee. What's the big deal? How do you make Kiddush in the coffee? Say one pasuk. Just say the pasuk of Kisheshes Yom Asah Hashem Es Hashem Ves Aretz Hashem Ves Kol Shabam VaYenach BaYom Ashvi Al Kemer Hashem Es Yom Es Kol Kacho and Bar Priya Gofen. You say one pasuk and coffee Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. You're anyway going to make the bracha Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. So you say one more pasuk. That's called the Kiddush. That's called Kiddush on. Kiddush, you show that it's Kiddush by saying a pasuk. You show that this is Kiddush. And then you can have whatever you want to eat. It's not a big deal. You don't like coffee? You could even make it on orange juice, b'di'evit. Orange is also valid, b'di'evit. Better not from concentrate, though. Concentrate is a problem. But regular orange juice, there are poskim that allow you to make Kiddush on orange juice as well. It's not a big deal to make Kiddush. I don't know why women are so worked up about making Kiddush. You can't make Kiddush. Big deal. So make Kiddush. Just make a bracha. That's all it is. You don't have to read anything. Even if you don't see even one bracha, it's sufficient. All right. There's a lot more here, but for another time. What else is new? What's going on in the world? Anything new? Anyone here get the vaccine yet?
Is there no vaccine?
What? Is there available? I don't know. I know someone who made a yomtiv on Shabbos. You know what happened to him? This guy, I don't understand. I don't understand him. I can't understand. Everyone is so different. He's a little bit older than me. And everyone in his family comes from a very big family. And they couldn't care less about some of them got it, some of them didn't get it. The truth is their father, they have an elderly father who did get corona. And almost died. He came that close to dying. Baruch Hashem, he survived. He made it. The kids, some got, some didn't get it. One of the children, I don't understand why, he's spooked out like you never saw. He's just spooked out. Regular guy. Regular, good guy. Like a normal, healthy person. It spooks him out, this corona business. He locked himself up in the basement since Purim. And he made demands on his wife and children. They have to follow his rules. The mask, the whole nine yards. The family's a little bit spooked out why he's so... Just, you know, do like everyone else. You know, take all the precautions, but don't go to... He really went to an extreme. I don't know. The vaccine. Oh, the vaccine. He has to get the vaccine by hook or by crook. I don't know what he did, but he got the vaccine. He managed to get the vaccine. Okay, illegally, for sure, but he got the vaccine. What did he do then? He went every day, or no, every second day, he went to get tested for antibodies. They told him it takes about 10 days until you get the antibodies from the time you get the vaccine. Sure enough, on Friday, Erev Shabbos, he got a call from the lab. I don't know when he took the test, the last test. He took the test every 2 days, but he got a call from the lab on Friday. You have antibodies. So he's still locked up in his house, but supposedly he's coming out very soon. And he is so happy.
The guy in Eretz Yisrael that the reports are he was 9 months locked up.
Yeah.
And in 1 week afterwards, he got it.
He got what? The vaccine?
No, he got the corona and he died. He locked himself up for 9 months. And just last week, he came out for whatever reason. For 1 week, he was out and pow, got it and he went.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Look, my neighbor across the street from Schmidman, Levitz. He was locked up. Same thing, locked up. And he got it. All this time, the vaccine is now, you know, just about ready. Couldn't make another 2-3 weeks, get the vaccine. Horrible. Horrible. How did this happen? It's just horrific. They waited so long.
I think they're going to find out that the new variant is very viral.
I hope not. But one thing you got to be really careful, super careful, that when you go get the vaccine, myself included, the facilities where they give the vaccine, it's a dirty place. And even though it's clean and spick and span, it seems like a lot of people are getting the virus, are getting it after they get the vaccine. Why? Where are they getting it from? It seems like they're getting it in the place, in the facility.
Well, no, okay. But what I would do is make you get a test before you get the vaccine.
Wear an N95 mask. Don't.
No, get a test. They stick it in your nose right before they give you the vaccine.
I don't. When you go get the vaccine, you get put on one of the really good masks, gloves, really, and don't stick around to schmooze. In and out, because it seems like these places where they give the vaccine are very, very dangerous. A lot of horror stories of people getting sick just by walking into these testing facilities. And the place where they administer the vaccine, you know, the nurses, they're dealing with people the whole day, nonstop. So even if they're not positive, are they carrying? No one knows. You're dealing with people that are dealing with sick people the whole day.
What you're saying that emergency care around your corner,
yeah,
don't go there for an emergency because they're all the time busy testing.
I'm saying that's right. You're exactly right. That's what I'm saying. You're right. And if you have to go in there to get a test, like they have people lined around the block to get a test. People the whole every time I pass there, they're lined up around the block.
There's got to be some positives.
If you do go in there because you have no choice, don't wear this. Don't wear this. Get the good stuff. Okay, the N95. The N95 mask. And wear gloves. And really, really protect yourself. And don't stick around. Because these places, who knows what's in there? There's so many terrible stories we've heard about people. They get the vaccine and all of a sudden they're, what? How do you get sick? What did you do different that caused you to get sick after getting the vaccine? It takes 10 days until the vaccine does its stuff to protect you. For the next 10 days, you're vulnerable. So what did you do different during these 10 days that you got sick? Oh, I went to get the vaccine. Where'd you go? Oh, I went to this facility. How'd you get there? I walked in the front door. I said hello to this one. Oh, you're also there. I sat down in the lobby. I went in the elevator. I touched this, I touched that. And the nurse had a conversation with me, asked me 25 questions. They wanted to know if I'm not only 90 years old, but they want to know if I'm pregnant. And they want to know, and they want to know my life history. And they gave me a telephone book to fill out all the information. And the process of filling out the telephone book of all the information about my race, my gender.
The secretary gave you her pen, which she's chewing on in her mouth.
These places are very dangerous. See, this is not a mahalach. There are a lot of big questions. They should do like someone told me, Dr. Freeman told me, the smallpox vaccine. You go to, they went to the police station. They should have in the street, no paperwork necessary. If you really care about the citizens, no paperwork. Just outdoors in the street, have a machine attached to your refrigerator, your high-tech ultra refrigerator to keep and just bang, 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 walk by. No paperwork, no nothing, no insurance cards, no contact with people, and get it over with. Get the whole country vaccinated in one day. What's this mishigas of going into these facilities, sitting around there, filling out telephone books, and coming in contact with hundreds of people and getting sick? What's all this about? Why do they have to do paperwork on everyone? Why can't they just give it to anyone who wants, just take the shot, and you want a passport to go on an airplane? We'll test you afterwards. We'll test you for antibodies afterwards. Why do we have to go and have everyone who gets the vaccine have a serial number, track them? It's ridiculous. This is not the ikar.
But I don't think you get fully immune until you take the second shot.
Okay, so let everyone take care of themselves. Everyone, they're half the country doesn't even want the vaccine. We're dealing with half the country who wants the vaccine. So the people who want it know what they're doing. And people who are not so swift, they have children, will take care of the grandparents and the parents. What's in our business to go be medakdek and track every little detail? Let people take care of themselves. Make it easy for them, make it safe for them. Something doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. This whole thing from beginning to end does not make one bit of sense. One of my friends, I can't believe this, one of the guys that I know, exactly my age, I heard now he came home, but I heard after it all happened, he got corona right now. And he was in the hospital on oxygen in a very, very bad matzav. And he came home, I think yesterday. I found that first after he got better, when he's not better yet, and he came home. After all this time, and you know, he's a healthy, gesunde guy. You never imagine he would be in such a matzav. Goes to show, you really don't know. I know someone in Eretz Yisrael, one of my relatives, locked up also for 9 months already. Locked up. So now the vaccine is available. He's on a waiting list to get the vaccine. He still didn't get the vaccine, even though they gave out already a million dosages. All of a sudden, he says, now there's a shortage. They ran out. There's no more vaccine in Israel. That's what he told me. They ran out, and they have to wait until they get more, whatever that means. So he has a lot of children, and he told me his children are divided if he should get it. Half of his children are encouraging him to get it ASAP, and the other half are afraid that the vaccine is dangerous for him. I don't know why, and they don't think he should take it. So he should wait. He should wait and see. You know, wait a little bit, see what happens, see to make sure that they don't come out and make any announcements about this and that. They want him to wait for a month before he takes the vaccine. See, everyone has a different story. Everyone you talk to tells you a whole different chagadia. I mean, a doctor I died on Friday night.
Well, a month is going to be next week.
No, a month from now. A month from now. They told, his children told him, anyway, they told him that half of his children told him, they said that they're very nervous about side effects and this and that. He's not such a healthy person to begin. This person is that I know, he's not such a healthy person. So I understand where they're coming from. I asked the doctor Friday night, and I davened shul Friday night in the doctor, you know, you probably know who he is, Kibalkin. Dr. Kibalkin, he's a cardiologist. He's a cardiologist in NYU. He worked many years in Maimonides. Now he works in NYU. He's a cardiologist, a very popular cardiologist. So I asked him what are his thoughts on the vaccine. So he says to me, he basically said to me, the vaccine is an experimental drug. There are a lot of questions. If you read the fine print of the report, there are some very shady things about the vaccine. However, he is, I already got the vaccine. I already got it. He said, taking the vaccine, this is what this guy is, a cardiologist, he's not an infectious disease, but this is what he said to me. The vaccine is an experimental drug. There are a lot of serious questions about it. However, the danger of not taking it is very, very great. And he says, in my understanding, my opinion, anyone who is over 60 years old must take it immediately. The danger of not taking it far outweighs the danger of the unknown of what this drug can do. Anyone who's under 60 years old that's healthy, he doesn't know what to say. Anyone who's over 60 that had corona and has recovered and has antibodies, he does not know what to say. He can't tell you what to do. The only thing that he says, I can tell you without any, my conscience is clear. I'm not politically affiliated. This is not my field. I am a cardiologist. This is not my field. All I can say is, from what I've been dealing with for the last 9 months, because obviously it affects the heart very much, corona, if you're over 60 years old and you did not yet have corona, or you should never have corona, did not have corona, the dangers of not taking the vaccine outweigh the dangers of taking this experimental drug. That's clear. That's what he said, told me. What's his first name? His name is Kovalkin. Kovalkin. And he already got the vaccine. He told me he already took it. This week they gave it to him. He's a doctor. They gave all the doctors in the hospital, NYU. He got it. He was very happy to take it. No problem taking it. Hashem Yirachem. In Eretz Yisrael this morning, I read this morning that all shuls are closed. Is that correct, Mayor? Every shul is closed. No more indoor minyanim.
They asked him that they should close. Whether they closed, I don't know.
No indoor minyanim in shul.
You know, Telstone closed all the schools. But you figure that is a town that has a lot of Americans in it.
There's also,
they're aware of it. It was there from the beginning. It's right. Been spreading Telstone, from the right, beginning. Right. People,
there's also an element...
The people are stupid. That's all. People are stupid.
There's also, listen, everyone is different. I don't know. There's also a very big problem. There's a lot of distrust because a lot of the people that are giving advice are getting a lot of money from the government. They're getting yeshivas.
They've been working with capsules. They're working in little groups. They're very strict. No one can come into the campus. Nobody right. can go in the dormitory. It's very strict and have been very successful. And now suddenly, pow.
So what's going on? What's going on?
They went home for Hanukkah.
That's what it's all about?
That's what it's all about.
What's going on in California?
I don't know what's going on in California.
They say it's a bloodbath there.
I couldn't care less what's going on. You know, it's not here. But
what do you mean it's not here? Whatever's
going on, everyone's hanging around, you know. You're going around, you meet somebody, you hug him, whatever.
I read something. There's an incredible spread in Israel, and there's an incredible spread in California. And someone wrote an article, which is probably total nonsense, but we don't know anything. It's, what do they have in common? What does California and Israel have in common?
Warm?
No. Water salination. No, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. How is it spreading? How everything is water is the water is everywhere. Everything is cleaned with water. How is it spreading? What's going on? Why is there an incredible explosion in these two places, in Israel and in California?
Because people don't give a damn. That's the real answer.
And in New York, people could care less. In New York, I don't see people can care less over here in New York. walk on the streets. Most of the goyim don't wear masks here in New York.
That's not. I don't know. All of the goyim I see
in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn. In Brooklyn.
Manhattan, almost everybody wears masks. You don't see that.
Everyone's wearing masks.
All right. I walk down the streets on Avenue M every single day, every single day on Avenue M, and I look at the people, and I look at the goyim, and a lot of the goyim. Some do, some don't.
My wife was in Borough Park shopping.
Yeah.
In a grocery store, and everyone was wearing masks, and one woman was not. And she said to her, "Where's your mask?" So she said, "I left it in the car." And so she turned around, went back to the car, and brought the mask.
Rav David is here. Rav David Ramaphore is here.
Oh, he came here after the coffee.
You see him?
Well, there he is. It's not that cold outside. He's wearing the oxygen mask too?
I gotta put my mask for him.
Hi. Shalom.
Okay. Zay gesund. Take care.
Zay gesund.
Before I say anything wrong. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. I gotta put my mask for David.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Zay gesund.
What is your name?
Rabbi Levine, is your uploaded on the site yet?
Which year? I uploaded a lot of stuff recently. What, yesterday? No, not yet. Maybe I'll do right now. Maybe I'll try to do right now. Okay.
Have a
tip. Okay, now, boys, have a wonderful day. I'm going to sign off. Be well, everyone. Zay gesund. Zay gesund. Zay gesund.
You're busy.